May the Lord grant us the grace in abundant fashion that we may perceive the truth of God's word. We are living in a time of great spiritual darkness. We may call it spiritual apostasy, meaning to say departing from the truth, spreading everywhere. Whatever happens in the world also happens in the church. It shouldn't be the case. When the world sings differently, the church also sings the same way as the world sings. When the world dance in a peculiar way, the church also seems to be dancing according to the rhythm and movement. So what we have today is not so much of a godly church, but a worldly church. It's not so much of a biblical church, but more a carnal church. And this is seen in almost every aspect of life and ministry. The topic given to me is biblical concept or biblical response to homosexuality. But I don't want to begin with homosexuality because that's not the main problem. The problem is not homosexuality. The problem is church has left the truth. Why talk about homosexuality as though there's nothing else to talk about? I can tell you, this is a sexual problem, right? Sexual problem is so many kind. It can be a thing of the mind. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, you committed adultery. The Bible prohibits premarital sex. There will be abundance in churches. We have adultery. So homosexuality is not the only problem we have. Heterosexual misbehaving also a problem. And we really have a big problem with regard to sexuality of the people, the sexual behavior of the people, because of easy access to pornography. A pastor can preach against adultery for 1 hour. When he gets home, he may be hooked onto pornography quietly, maybe on his mobile phone or on his computer. So this is not just an act that we are talking about. Homosexuality is a result of hearts that are given to carnal lust. I know of people who have been homosexuals but stopped that kind of life very quickly and then moved on to married life and never went back to homosexual ways. When they started off, they thought this is their kind of makeup. But soon they realized it's not. When God's word shines in their hearts and minds, they realize it's a sin and I must not sin. So they stopped. Nobody felt they are supposed to do it. Now, we who are not homosexuals and do not want to commit such an act, lives a life that is constantly thinking or dwelling upon carnal stuff, would be committing adultery or fornication very quickly. such boys, young men, take advantage of the girlfriends. Married women also take advantage of carnal young men. This thing is flourishing like anything in our time. Did you read? I think it was on last Thursday, Straits Times. In Singapore, young girls under 14 are increasingly becoming pregnant. Did you read this? No, you missed it? Okay. Some might have read. I was shocked when I read it. More and more girls under 14 are getting pregnant. And some are young boys, or I should say young men, and some are adults whom they meet in internet chat rooms or social medias and so on. I just want you to understand, whenever we talk about homosexuality, it didn't start in itself. It is the ultimate expression of a society that has long been carnal and godless. And I even want to say this before we get into the scripture, because I'm going to prove this from the scripture. This is an act of judgment from God. This is a sign that God started abandoning the society. Judgment is near. Let's get to our text. Romans chapter 1. We have it all there. Let's see how the Bible talks about this. Verse 20 of Romans 1. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, Apostle Paul is telling his readers, particularly the Christians in Rome, that no one is without excuse when it comes to their need to know God. God created the world and put us in this world, and he made sure his acts of creation left clear marks of his existence in this world. The world in all its beauty and complexity really tells us this is not something that came about as a matter of chance. Now, you don't see by chance all these chairs suddenly getting out and combining together to form a house. It doesn't happen. So many things have been going on for thousands of years before this human race, and nothing seemed to have evolved. You don't see monkeys in Mandai Zoo becoming human beings. They were around for thousands of years. You don't see a cat suddenly barking. The cat still meow. That's not very nice, but something like that. A dog never meow like a cat. Evolution demands that a particular kind must become something else. It's not within a kind there are variations. That's not evolution. You can have different kinds of dogs, but you can't change a cat or dog into an elephant. It doesn't happen. Or you don't turn a bird into an animal. It doesn't happen. Evolution demands that. Now, we don't see the sun moving out of its position, neither the moon. Everything seemed to be in its appointed place and orbit that God placed. But of course, so-called scientists would tell us that they are convinced it was not like that. Things have evolved and so on. But God clearly says, anyone who scrutinizes the world with honesty must acknowledge that there is a maker of it all. It is human pride and human desire not to submit to what the Bible says and to exalt its own ideology that comes with all kinds of idea that denies God. So here in this verse we are told very clearly that God who is invisible, God who cannot be seen with our eyes, is an eternal spirit. He liveth in light that is unapproachable. Nobody can see him with naked eyes. Yet his invisible things of him are clearly seen from the time of creation by the power of his work. As we normally say, you don't have to know that there was a beautiful artist behind a picture or a painting that we have on the wall. The paint don't come together just like that by accident and create that picture. When you see a beautiful picture, you firstly know that, wow, the mind that worked to create this piece of art must be brilliant. This hand must be extremely skillful. Who can do this? So everything that we see seem to suggest a cause. And the world suggests an eternal cause. And that's God. And intelligence. Nowadays in America, it seems that there is this group of scientists who doesn't accept evolution, but believe in infinite or eternal intelligence. They don't want to call it God. They call it an eternal intelligence. Something so supreme created all these things and make them function as they are. Because in their mind, it's impossible for anything to happen by chance like this. But for us, the complexity, the orderliness, the diversity, the beauty, the preciseness, the stability, the continuity of this universe all point to the fact that God, who is eternal, is all-powerful, all-wise, and he created it. But what did man do when he realized that this complex world must have an amazing God who created it? Well, let's see what man did. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, you see, they knew God. They had this understanding that there is a God who created this. They glorified him not as God. They did not humbly say, whoa, there is a God. We hope we can know him more. But instead of patiently waiting for God to give them understanding, and the Bible also says they were not thankful. They were not thankful for the creation, for their own existence. You know, lack of thankfulness appears in many ways. One of the ways in which unthankful spirit expresses itself is by not waiting for those who provide or those who are benefactors. Let's say my children come home to have dinner and the mother prepares the food, everything on the table, and they come straight away, wall up everything and go out and make a lot of noise and and say, I think the neighbor made all this, you know, I think the auntie in the church also gave that, and our mother didn't cook. And they just imagine all this and talk about this. Do you think they are thankful? No. They didn't wait for the mom to explain how she cooked. They didn't ask her anything about the food. They didn't even say thank you to her. Or that they just enjoy the food and get out and say whatever they think about the one who cooked. And they didn't attribute it to the mother, but to the neighbor. And Bible tells us, man's unwillingness to recognize and acknowledge the Creator as God is an unthankful spirit. It already tells us that they are not humble to acknowledge the existence of God, and it also tells us that it is an unthankful spirit. So we have a world that is absolutely disinterested in God. They don't want to acknowledge God as a creator, and they don't want to praise Him. They don't want to be thankful to Him. They don't want to talk about Him. So what happens? They just throw out whatever rubbish they think about the creation. And so in verse 21, Paul says, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the more they try to talk about the world that they see around them, the more darkened ideas came out of the mind. So we have people who say, we came from ape. We came from ape. Or we came from monkey. So we are just animals. But God says we are created in His own image. What a big difference. No creature was ever created in God's own image except man. And that's the difference. We are not like chimpanzees. We are not like apes. We are a spiritual being. We are a soul being. We have an inner man that the man animals don't have. Some people say animals have soul. But I want to tell you this. They don't have inner man like we have. The word soul in the Bible, which uses for animal, is not about having a soul like us. It's just having their life. It only means life in them. That's all it means. Nefesh. It does not necessarily mean soul. Only man has an inner man which can communicate to God and fellowship with Him. We are in the image of God. No animal is created in the image of God. So when God created man out of the dust of the earth, He breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. We are a soul being. And we have the ability to communicate to God. We have an ability to discern what is righteousness. Animals don't understand what is righteousness and what is sin. We have an ability to repent. Animals cannot repent. We have an ability to hope for greater things, not just of the things of this world, but even beyond death. And our hearts are never satisfied until our hearts find its eternal salvation in Christ. So you see, my dear friends, we cannot give ourselves to think like animals. If you are going to think like an animal, you know, you come up with arguments like this. We are just another species in the animal kingdom. Dogs may have many partners, sexual partners. So I also can't have one. I'm just a little bit more intelligent. That's all. No, you don't do that. You know something is wrong. When you tell a lie, something in your conscience, we say, or in our soul, tells us it's wrong. Even though you are not a Christian, you know it. When you cheat on your wife, even though you are not a Christian, you know that something is not right. Then how come today people say that we are born like that. We are born as homosexuals. We know I am a woman caught in a man's body. Or I am a man caught in a woman's body. I know I'm not to be like this. I know this is not real me. How do they say this? Well, we are going to come to that. But it begins here. It begins with a rebellious heart that doesn't acknowledge the truth and neither is grateful. You remember this. This is the beginning. Not acknowledging God and not being grateful. That's where trouble begins. You know, I was talking to somebody who grew up in a church, in one of our BP churches, and became a homosexual. This young man, I asked him, how come you have come to this? You know, I thought you are very dedicated as a young boy and young man. And what caused you to do this? He laughed and said, you know, every time I come to church, I hear everything. I never actually believe, but I can't say it. I will break my parents' hearts. But I just sit in and agree with everything and I follow. You see the problem? Never acknowledged and never were thankful. Then I said, why didn't you then tell your Sunday school teacher? Why didn't you tell your pastor about it? Oh, I know they're all stereotyped, you know. Their arguments are all circular reasoning. I asked them, is there a God? They say, yes. How do you know? Because God's word says. But how do you know God's word is right? Because God says. So how do you know there is a God? Because God's word says. How do you know God's word is true? Because God says. So he says it's a circular argument. So it's not correct. Something wrong. They just go round and round. So I ask him, what is 1 plus 1? 2. 2 minus 1? 1. How do you know 2 minus 1 is 1? Because 1 plus 1 is 2. But is it not a circular argument? Maybe. What's wrong with the circular argument if it is a fact? Some people don't get it. How do you know there is God? Because God said so. But why would you believe what God said? Because He is God. Cannot be wrong. There's only one being that is perfect and true and righteous. That's the all-knowing, eternal God who is holy. And therefore I believe Him. But why should you believe Him? Why can't you challenge Him? How can I challenge an infinitely holy and infinitely knowing God? My puny mind cannot. Ah, that's your problem. You see, you are cowards. You don't believe in yourself. You don't have the confidence. We believe that we can do everything. We can. Nothing is impossible. Or they say, what, Nike's statement, right? Impossible is nothing. They are trying to catch God, I think. I don't know what they're up to. But every time when they go into this kind of argument, their thinking go wrong. And they get worse and worse. The Bible says. There's so many proof of it in our society. But I don't want to waste my time going into all this. Sometimes there are people who argue that Hitler subscribed evolutionary ideas of Charles Darwin. And because of that, he wanted to have a super race. And he believed that the Aryan race is the best in the world. And all must be eradicated and they must grow and so on and so. But maybe true, maybe not true. I have not read Hitler's book or writings very much. I don't know very much. This is what some people say. But I have enough evidence in the Bible. And the Bible clearly says every time when man reject the idea of God and His greatness and truth and holiness and power and righteousness, his mind gets darker and darker. He immerses into all sorts of wicked deeds. Let's go further. Verse 22. Because their understanding become darkened, verse 22 says, they professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These are intelligent fools. Have you heard of them? There you have it. These are PhD fools. This is where somebody said PhD means permanent head damage. Cannot think straight. They are so puffed up in their own mind, they say foolish things, professing themselves to be wise. Now, if you ask the evolutionary scientists, they would say, you know, they would also have circular argument. And if you ask them, how do you know the world is millions of years old? Because we scientists say. But why would scientists say? Why should we believe what the scientists say? Because we are scientists. Because they are scientists. So, one day I was arguing with this young man who is a medical student and he thinks he's very smart. And well, he is smart, I must say. That's why he went into medicine. If he is not smart, he wouldn't be there. So he thinks very highly of himself. And he said, you know, I'm a scientist. I believe in science. I must see everything, I must touch everything, otherwise I don't believe. So I said, all right, I got your line of argument. So how did the world come about? Of course, evolution. I said, did you touch it? Did you see it? Do you have a photographic evidence? We have somebody's diary from that time that it was all evolved. Did any monkey write it for you? Did anybody catch a picture? How do you know? Oh, in Ethiopia, they found Lucy's bone. Lucy is some kind of ancient creature. They say it's a missing link between the ape and the man. Actually, nowadays you go, I went to Ethiopia a few times because we have a mission church, and I went to the National Museum, and they have a replica of Lucy's bones. And now they say half of it is a monkey's. The other one is a lady's. So it happened that this lady's bone was near a monkey which died. And it was together in the same place. And they put it together and said, this is Lucy. And now they reject the idea. Evolutionists themselves say it's not correct. So they don't talk much about Lucy. Then there was a Peking man, Java man. All these are now proven not to be true. Now, how can you prove the whole creation and the coming together of this entire world on few bones that were 1,000 years old? Now, they can have circular argument. They can believe, and yet they say they don't believe. Now, do you really think, do you really have the proof how the world has come into existence? Can anybody show me an proof? Now, I cannot prove this world is created by God. I cannot prove it to you. I don't have any evidence. Can somebody prove it to me? No, I don't think you can prove. Nobody can prove how the world came about. You only have the revelation. You better believe. God said, therefore I believe. Nobody can prove it. The only proof we have is this document in the Bible, written by God himself with the hands of Moses. It's the only document we have. And this is the perfect document we have. Other than that, there's nothing. There's no other evidence. How are you going to take some sand from here and some water from here and some other minerals from some other planet? You bring it together, test everything. Will it prove how the world came about? Or what day it was created, or what day it evolved, or when and how they have all these things. Come on, we can't. And we will not find absolute evidence to these things. Now, why is then that man wouldn't accept this? Why is that man wouldn't completely become theistic in the notion? Simply this. They are fools. Why do you say that? How dare you call me a fool? That may be the answer of the evolution. How dare you? Pastor Koshi, you only have some funny Bible college degree called FEBC. Mine Oxford, okay? Cambridge. And you dare call me fool? No, sir, I didn't. The Bible said.
Where?
Here, right here. You profess yourself to be wise, and you are becoming more and more foolish.
That's why I don't believe in Bible.
Oh, that's why I believe in the Bible, because Bible tells me the truth that you're a fool.
Circular argument.
Yes, sir. A fool has to be fooled. No matter what he do, he's still a fool. That's a circular argument. Move on. What do the foolish people do? By the way, who are the foolish ones? Don't forget the order of thought, okay? They are the ones who do not acknowledge God. They are not thankful that God is the creator. And then we noticed their hearts are darkened because of vain imagination. And that makes them fools. Okay, they are puffed up. They don't want to submit to God. Because they are so puffed up, they become fools. So not acknowledging God, not being thankful, being puffed up, they do not submit themselves to God. And also I mentioned, they become foolish. Now watch this. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image to birds. Sorry, and into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now the next thing they did is to make counterfeit gods. Idols, we say. You know, they couldn't escape, man couldn't escape the fact that there is this amazing work of an infinite being, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful, to have such a marvelous design that's working for hundreds and thousands of years without any fault. You know, many of the computers that we buy, they are excellent, they are amazing, you know, they can do so many things. But after 4 or 5 years, they all crank up. One gentleman told me that he believed in Macintosh and not, you know, window-based computers, PCs. And so he said he's a Macintosh evangelist, Apple evangelist, to convert me. I say, all right, la. I mean, I agree in some cases. Apple is better because in those days they argue it cannot have virus, it's virus-free. You don't crash like the PCs. So one day I saw this gentleman's Apple computer suddenly cannot work. Just, of course, we say hang. For PC, we say it hanged or it crashed. He said no. Apple computer will never hang. It only freezes. So I said, what's that? It's a matter of terminology, right? What I'm interested is to tell you, it just don't work like, huh? Supposed to work, but you just, it just don't work. Now, even that so-called nice computer crashed. Its hard disk gone. Its memory failed. I'm going to throw it away. The best of man's creation don't last much. After a few years, they all degenerate and go. But look at this. Amazingly, God kept this creation. Amazing. So the world said, yeah, there must be an infinite intelligence behind it. Let's do something. Let's say sun is God. Or why don't you make myself God? I will teach you things. Or maybe let's say, oh, the cobra, I'm scared. Let's worship. Oh, the mountain that we know, the tallest mountain, well, that must be God. So what happened is that, according to verse 23, man, having understood that there must be a creative intelligence behind it, instead of acknowledging it as God, tried to interpret God and his mighty work based on the puny mind, finally end up calling all the little creatures God. So today for Hindus, even a cockroach is a god. Right? They worship all kinds of gods. Millions of things. Oh, I am a god, according to Hindu philosophy. And you are also a god. We should be worshipping one another now. Or you walk out, you see a cow, you worship. Or you walk out and see the sun, you worship. Now, not only Hindus. All over the world, we see this. They change the glory of God. The glory of the uncorruptible God. The eternal, unchanging one. They called his name while they worshipped all these corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you see, things are getting from bad to worse. They didn't acknowledge him. They didn't give him praise. They become so puffed up. That means they're exalting themselves above God. And they become foolish in the mind by doing so because they're not seeing what is right. They're calling the wrong right and making the right wrong. So they became darkened and they corrupted the idea of God. Now this is very, very serious now. You're far from truth. You're far from wisdom. You're far from everything that would help you in the right and steady path. Since man has gone this far in abandoning God, now God says this, watch 24, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up. Man gave up God. God gave up man as well. And so what happens? Verse 24. When God gave them up, they became unclean. All sense of morality started to dissipate. My brethren, when God's gracious control over life is removed, we are going to spin faster than ever before into the bottomless pit of immorality and wickedness. So many times we saw this in the history of the world. We saw such a situation in Noah's time. The hearts were hardened, every imagination of every thought was evil continually. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 6. Because they abandoned God, God abandoned them. And God said to Noah, you get into the ark with your children and your wife. I'm going to close this. And I'm going to finish them. In Sodom and Gomorrah, that city, there was one just man called Lot. Because of his desire for material prosperity, he took his family there. He lost his sons and daughters to the wickedness of that nation. But God had great mercy on Lot. His heart was vexed because of the wickedness of that city. And God sent his angels to drag him out. And as soon as God dragged him out, you know what happened. Now remember what happened just before God destroyed that city. That's in Genesis chapter 19. When the angels came, two of the angels came, what did the men of that city do? They came looking for the two men. And now we have the name Sodomite to refer to homosexuals. And Lot that night pleaded with these men of the city and said, I got two daughters who are not married. No man has lied with them. Why not you take my two daughters and spare these two men who came to visit me? No, we won the two men who came. They were angelic beings. Of course, being angelic beings, they have special powers that God has given. So they took Lot, his wife, and the two daughters and left before the men of the city could take. Now you can see, as soon as God sent his angels to tell Lot that time is up for this city, it's going to be destroyed, we see this unbridled expression of immorality culminating in homosexuality. This is the apex of a world that abandoned God, and therefore God's abandonment is seen in unrestrained sexual immorality. Unrestrained sexual immorality. What we see in the world today is the same. Immorality has even crept into the church, and the church, generally speaking, have decided to abandon God and his authority. Pastors and preachers, clergymen who has the word of God, and now they are looking day after day to ridicule what the Bible says. The church acknowledged evolution. And some say, oh, we can't be so outrightly saying it's all evolution and no God. So let's call it theistic evolution. It has been around for a while. Oh, God was there. God didn't create everything in 7 days. God just created that particular molecule or that particular particle that is needed for the evolution. So God just created a tiny thing and left it there, and then everything evolved. So there is a God, and he created that which is necessary for the evolution, and then everything evolved. But sir, you're a theologian, you're a Bible scholar. The Bible doesn't say that. Bible says God created each of those things that we see around us on a particular day. Which one did God create first? Mango seed or mango tree? Any idea? Which one came first? Chicken, egg, or chicken? Of course, chicken. That's for sure. How about mango or mango seed? I think together, huh? Maybe it was a fruitful tree. We are not told. Possible. But anyway, we don't have to worry about it. These things were created as they ought to be by God. God did that. Now, when you have all these things so clearly taught in the Bible, and we have scholars, so-called scholars in the church, questioning the truth about the very first account that God gives to our hands to read, namely Genesis, and say, oh, it's not correct. Genesis 1:2 must go. Hey, stop that. Because in Exodus also, the Bible says, because God created all things in 6 days, 7 days he rested. So now keep the Sabbath day holy. Oh, okay. Where is it now? Oh, cannot. How to tear it now? Tear it this way. Just strip. Hey, but it doesn't end there. It is said again and again and again and again. Ah, something is wrong with this book. So the unbelief of a God who creates all things and controls all things result in constant rejection of the truth of the Bible. And it has no more power upon these people in the leadership of the church everywhere. Now, what takes precedence is not God's word, but their own feelings, their own imaginations, which are corrupt. So when a man is so filled with this unclean, lustful thought, oh, What should you do? You must go to God in prayer. Watch and pray, lest he enter into temptation. But instead of that, nowadays, people will go to internet, turn on the TV, watch the kind of movie they want, or watch the kind of video clip they want. They know what website will provide homosexual video clips and so on. You watch it with all the graphic illustration of it, and then you go try to sleep. You cannot sleep. This thing starts to play out. Early morning, wake up with that uncontrolled, stirred up, wicked feelings in your heart. You go and have friends who are also cracking jokes about this kind of thing, immoral and vulgar in the jokes in the classroom. You all laugh and you go out for a walk. It became night and you talk one another, one thing, two thing, and you want to have fun. And there you go. This is what a young medical doctor who was a homosexual and came to my church, told me about himself. God took his life. He died. Brilliant boy. So he was an homosexual. I didn't know anything about him. His relative who was attending my church said, "Pastor, I have a nephew like this. And he is in trouble. He's in jail. Because he went into an internet forum of the gays. CNB officers were, you know, pretending to be gays, and they offered him a homosexual party in one of the hotels in Geylang area or somewhere there, and told him at the end whether he would like to bring some drugs if he has, because they said that will give them more power in the sexual experiences. And he said, "Yes, I will try." He's a brilliant boy, very smart. Was into his third year in his medical study. And they trap him. When he went into the room, there was one guy looking very gay. And he said, "Did you bring?" "Yes." "Oh, please take it out." And he tried to go for the bag. CNB officers were hiding behind the cupboard and door, jumbo, catch him, arrested him. It was a big case because there was an argument from the defending lawyer that this is not the right way to find a drug addict. He's not a drug addict, he's an intelligent man. They force him to bring it, and this is not correct. So his sentence was reduced. But because he was arrested and put in jail, I had to go and see him. I went to Queenstown Remand Jail for the first time to preach to this guy. I preached to him. And he seemed to have repented. And he repented. I went, I think, about almost 2 months, regularly every week. And because of his good behavior, they let him off the jail early. They tag him, you know, an electronic tag on his leg. He came home, and I visited him almost every week. Try to teach him. In the third Bible study that I had with him in his house, I noticed a big change again in him, and he's not very interested. So I said, "What happened to you? How come you have a change now?" "Oh, I have some different, I don't agree with you." I said, "What is that?" "I think Apostle Paul was a gay." I said, "Where do you get this idea?" "My pastor says." I said, "Oh, I never said that." No, not you. "You are not my pastor." Wow, I felt so terrible. "I brought you to Christ." He went to join a gay church in Tiong Bahru. The advisor to this church is a former Anglican bishop, retired guy, Bishop Yap. And they tell him that the Corinthian church was full of gays. I said, "How do you know this? Where in the world you get it?" And after that, I realized he doesn't want to change. The next time I saw him is when his parents called me and said, "Pastor, my son is dying." I said, "What? Don't know what happened. He collapsed while he was practicing medicine in Inuit. And I went to see him. He was about to die. I really don't know what happened. Well, I think he repented on his deathbed. I prayed with him. He couldn't talk to me. He was completely knocked off. He is aware of what's going on, but he can't relate. His eyes are closed, and his body cannot move. Only thing he can do is raise his eyebrow slowly. It's because his mom said, "Pastor, you can ask yes or no question. If you want yes, maybe tell him to raise his eyebrow 2 times. No, 1 time. Maybe he can try." So I asked some questions, and he said he's repenting because he raised his eyebrow 2 times. Say, "Would you like me to pray?" He raised 2 times, and then tears start to come down his cheek. And I said, "You pray in your heart. I will pray with you." After that, I went home. I mean, I don't know whether he truly believed, but this is what happened. Reach home in the evening, father called me and said, "Pastor, my son died." And there he goes. And that gentleman has told me that he started his homosexual behavior in secondary school and became worse when he was in army. From that, it was getting worse and worse. Brilliant boy. And he was told to believe that he's created that way. And God wants him to be that way. But let me tell you, God doesn't want any man to be a gay. People say, "God created me as a sexual being, and I must enjoy sex." Not just that. God has given you many, many desires and needs and strong passions. You know, just because I had my breakfast this morning, it doesn't mean I don't need lunch, right? I feel hungry. Okay, I take my lunch. But then in the evening, maybe soon, because I preach many times, I think I will feel hungry very quickly because I'm tired and I'm quite worn out and I need some food. Does that give me the right to eat the whole night? Chicken, duck, fish, cake, ice cream. Keep eating, 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 eating. God, give me hunger so I'm going to eat. You'll be called a glutton. Immoral behavior. Oh, God, give me thirst. I'm going to order 10 cans of beer. And on the top of it, some more. I'm going to have a good time. Anyway, I preached 5 times already tonight. Must enjoy. Drink. God created wine. God allowed it to be alcohol. God gave me the desire to drink. Why not? You'll be called a drunk. The gluttons and the drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God because you're abused. Oh, I have the sexual urge. Yes. Then go get married. Marry who? No animals. There is such a thing called bestiality. Not your brother and sister. Not incest. Find a godly girl or godly man. No, don't be unequally yoked. Yes, we acknowledge you have sexual desires. But God has a guideline for it. The bed is undefiled. Whoremongers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I understand everybody has sexual feelings. Some may feel it early or stronger. Then the Bible says, don't burn in your lust. Go get married. Marry a godly brother or godly sister. One of the opposite sex who is godly. That's God's plan. Unbridled sexual expression, whether it's pornography or reading dirty novels or watching filthy movies or homosexuality or bestiality or whatever. Well, let me even include masturbation in it. We better be careful. We are told to flee youthful lust. Isn't it? Abstain from fornication. You must understand this. Homosexuality is the culmination of man's abandonment of God and His truth. And it also, at the same time, indicates God's soon coming judgment upon this earth. Didn't Jesus say, before His coming, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Didn't He say it will be like Noah's time? That's what we are seeing. Let's get back to Romans and complete it. So God has abandoned such people to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You see, that's where it begins. The lust of the hearts, not lust of the body. It begins in your heart. A heart that is totally in a defiant mode, having no desire to acknowledge God or be thankful or submit to His will, but puffed up, express its own love, its own passions, its own desires. So God says He abandoned them to that. And when they do that, what do? They dishonor their bodies between themselves. It's really dishonorable. You know, homosexual behavior, young children, I can't talk too much. It's no need to talk too much. They behave the wrong way. God didn't create us with body structure that is for a man and a man to have sex. It's a total distortion of things. Such a dishonorable behavior. Improper behavior. This is not good. First of all, according to the Bible, when a man goes the way of the homosexuals, he is godless, right? And he is unclean in his mind. Nothing clean in there. And secondly, he dishonors his own body. When you start abusing your own body, the body will suffer. And so we have HIV. And it is an undeniable fact that among the homosexuals, those who practice gay relationship will have it quickly, and they are the cause for its spread most of the time. It's an undeniable reason. Of course, now they argue, oh, we can protect you. We can avoid unprotected sex. We would take all precaution. We know how to control. Why must sex be so protected? Shouldn't it be something God has given to you to enjoy naturally with your wife or with your husband? Why should have all these dishonorable, difficult scenarios? Because you are not engaging in something natural, dishonorable and unnatural thing. That's why it's so weird and difficult and so complicated. Please don't think homosexual behavior is natural. I mean, just imagine boys keeping the hair like a girl and putting on all these jewelries like girls and talking like a girl. Is it natural? No, they think it's natural. It's so dishonorable. Girls behaving like boys, doing all kinds of funny stuff to make the body appear like a boy or a man. What weirdness. Dishonorable things they do. And then the scripture also here says, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In this process, they continue to worship themselves, the creature more than God. Again, God says this in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. This is the second time we are reading that God gave them up. So homosexual behavior is a clear sign, an indication of God's abandonment of wicked men. God gave them up unto vile affections.
Now that's why some people say, you know, I don't know, it's in my mind. I'm like that. I'm made like that. I'm like that. Why? Because God abandoned them. Go. You want to do it? Go and do it. It's almost like Judas Iscariot was with the Lord for 3 years, right? And 3.5 years. And the end, he asked, Lord, who would betray you? You. What did he do? Immediately go out to betray him. He didn't repent. God, the Lord abandoned him. You want to die? Go and die. You want to betray me? Go and betray. You want to live like that? Go ahead. Now I want to sound out a warning to all the young girls and young boys, and of course even to the adults. When God says to you, do not marry an unbeliever, you better take it seriously. And what God says, don't be a fornicator, you better take seriously. Otherwise, you go and have fornication with and disobey. You never know where that person is going to take you because he has no regard for God's word. If he's a hypocrite now, he'll be a hypocrite later. So we better be careful. I'm not saying people will not repent. Yes, some will repent. But you can't count, you cannot take God's grace for granted. You can't presume upon God's grace. You know, there are people who say, oh, never mind. David committed adultery. God forgave. So Pastor Koshi was a trial. Okay? God may not forgive me. I may just die before I have an opportunity to repent, proving myself to be reprobate. Don't presume upon God's grace, okay? Because if you do that, you are abandoning God in the name of His grace. And He will abandon you. There won't be any grace. And all of us, therefore, must learn to understand this. That when we started to abandon God and His righteousness for the things of the world, it will very likely would end up in God abandoning you. You know, I have said this many times, and some people don't understand this. I have told in my church to families, please don't take your wife and children and watch all these filthy movies that are going on. And one lady argued, why cannot? Why cannot? It's okay. It's just an entertainment. We don't agree with you, but we just want to see all these lights and whatever modern video techniques. That's all. It's very interesting, very interesting. Husband committed adultery after some time. So I said, didn't I tell you, go and watch, don't watch all this rubbish. Oh, it doesn't mean everybody who watch will do that. So that's right. But it happened in your case. And children start to behave in ungodly manner, having relationship with non-Christian. And cry, Pastor, pray. My daughter is having a non-Christian boyfriend. Say, why should I pray? You go and watch all the wicked things and laugh at it and say, good. So children say, it's good. They choose. What can I do? Now let me tell you, when we embrace the world without taking heed to the spiritual principles, we are asking God to drop us because we are not interested in what you say. We got our own ideas. You're going to embrace that. We better be serious. I know. Whenever I am so explicit in saying these things, people have scoffed at me. And I know that very well. And some call me extremist. Some would call me old-fashioned. And one guy said, maybe in India it's like that, but in Singapore it's different. So I have all kinds of remarks. Whether India or Singapore or Canada, it makes no difference. God's truth is to be loved and cherished.
You break God's commandment in Singapore or India, you get the same result. How foolish to think this way. So the Bible says God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Even women who were supposed to be more gentle and modest and careful with their ways become terribly loose. In fact, you know, the Bible put it in this way. This is most atrocious. It says, for even their women. That's shocking. Of course, in our world, it doesn't matter because we think the women would do it first, then men. They are so brave. Early morning, wake up, comb the hair, come out, whoa, move, man. Tuk, 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 tuk. The ladies are so intimidating in these days. You dare not. If she look at you, you better go. Otherwise, if they scream and then you say something and she push you, you push, then you'll be in jail and she'll be walking free. Because women's rights. They're very powerful. And let me tell you something. A lot of men get caught in office because there are women who are so sensual in the working place and very daring. Married women. Without shame. And when women become so bold, you know, society is gone. It's gone. They say it's sexual freedom. It's gender freedom. No. This is utter wickedness. Man already gone. Now ladies follow suit. And they also behave like wicked men. And then verse 27. And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another. I mean, if all the women are going after one another, where would the men go? They go after one another. Very weird. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, which was fitting. This is the recompense of their error. Did you see that? What's the error? Didn't acknowledge God, were not thankful, were puffed up, wouldn't yield to God, became arrogant and wise in their own thinking, thus becoming foolish and darkened, and lust taking over. And now this is the recompense. This is the consequence. Fitting consequence. What's that? Women must sleep with women. Men must sleep with men. Bum. Utter distortion. Now, man's abandonment is complete and God's abandonment is also ripened. And so, we shall complete by reading the rest of the passage. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You see, they didn't like to retain God's knowledge, so God gave them up to reprobate mind, meaning wicked mind. They cannot discern what is good and evil. They only embrace that which is evil, to do those things which are not convenient. That's why today we are living in a time, anything wicked is good and anything good is wicked, right? Try and defend heterosexuality and family life. Boy, they will finish you off. Try and tell mothers ought to take charge of the families and they must look after the kids and not childcare centers and maids and all that. Oh, they will shoot you. Oh, you are against women freedom. No! You know, today the Christian families enjoy, send the poor lady work hard, you know, from what, 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. until 6 or 7, then come home, still must cook, still must breastfeed the children, still must iron the clothes, then get ready for the next day, then rush, come back, oh, vicious cycle. You think what? Ladies are so super powerful? They are weaker vessels. Just because money, now I can buy 2 cars, can live in a big bungalow, let's have double income. materialistic perspective has caught us up. Children grow up without the tenderness of mother and the love of the father. It's all superficial for a long time. May I tell you, BPS are not going to escape this judgment. We already have strings of premarital sex and problems happening in our church. Children of elders and pastors and leaders. And we all don't want to ask any question. Shh, quickly get married. And we are not far from homosexual problems. It's already crept in some of our churches. And it's going to take us over. It's a matter of time. Reason is simple. We have long lived a hypocritical life. There was so much lip service. But we will not yield our hearts and our families to God. The world will take us over. Nobody can stop it. Time is ripe. God's judgment must begin where, my friends? In the house of God. And I can tell you something. Whenever a nation becomes so wicked in its ways, you will see that happening in the church. When the church loses its moral integrity, its moral edge, it cannot cut through the society. It's a blunt surface. It's no more a sharp sword to cut through the society and make inroads into it. We are just like them. So we cannot save souls. But rather we gather people without conversion. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm not saying all of us are like that, but I'm pretty sure it already started in our so-called BP denomination. Long happened, and now it's spreading very fast. And it can come into Tabernacle, come into my church, Gethsemane. And I'm very wary of it happening in my church. Why should I talk about you? I've been watching over this church called Gethsemane BP Church for 20 over years, almost 24 years. And I'm dead scared, I can tell you. I am very scared it will happen very soon. I see that. Because people are not yielding to the truth. They follow the world so strongly, whether it is in the dressing or in the choices of life, pattern, we see so much materialism. And the children watch this in the parents. And they are smarter than the parents when it comes to sinning. May God have mercy. So God gave them over to reprobate mind. Verse 29 to 32. Being filled with all unrighteousness. See? You can see where it begins and where it ends. Okay, watch this list of sins. And see where it begins and where it ends. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, means gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, okay, like pornography, new stuff. Now you have sexual immorality in a digital format. They know how to sin in new ways, right? All kinds of things. You have digital prostitutes also, male and female, everything available. And what else? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, you know, divorces and so on, without natural affection. Look at that. What is without natural affection? Unnatural behavior is a reference to homosexuality. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know it will bring judgment, but they choose to have pleasure in them. Not only you do it, you enjoy that others also take your side. I want to say something which frustrated me over the last 2 days. since last Wednesday, rather. But last 2 days it also has some other impact on my head. It came through some news in CNN, and I, because there was this piece of news in CNN website, church divided on sexuality. So I clicked that, what it was, and I was taken to United Methodist Church website in America. And I was so devastated by what went on. And it was all video recorded and put it up on YouTube as a documentary. How the church is fighting to change the doctrine of the church to include, to remove homosexuality from the list of sin. And you know, all the white people, almost all of the white churches in America under this denomination supported it. And they almost lost the game. They only survived because the African delegates from African countries were against that motion to have homosexuality removed from the church. Because of the vote of the black people from Africa, the church decided not to change. But it's just a matter of time. That led me to some other video clips put up by these people. Oh, I just couldn't believe my heart. Clear passages, I love that. Allow me to point you to one verse. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Verse 22. What does it say? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Right? Very clear, right? Homosexuality is banned. And it's called abomination. You know what they say? Oh, this is a ceremonial thing. You know, in the book of Leviticus, you must know, it's all about ceremony. It's you cannot eat rabbit, you cannot eat prawns, you cannot eat crabs. And you what? You cannot have homosexuality. These are, you know, ceremonial things. How about the next line? Neither shalt thou lie with an beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Bestiality is prohibited. Is that also ceremony? These people are weird. And then one theologian, whoa, with this very scholarly look, he comes to the video camera and he says, you know what? The word for, Hebrew word for abomination, whenever it is used, it is always used with ceremonial abomination. Not something to do with spiritual and moral abomination, but with ceremonial abomination. So it's not real. It's not a standard by which we should live. And I was thinking, oh Lord, please save my boys and my girl. If they ever watch this video clip, let them never doubt the reality of the truth. Very convincing the way they talk. They are PhDs. They have a special way of saying it. Very impressive. There are so many other verses. You can just jot it down if you want to. Leviticus 20:13. Also says the same truth. Leviticus 20:13. And it simply tells us that it is a sin that requires capital punishment. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So now they argue, so you want to kill all the homosexuals, huh? You see how cruel you are, how murderous you are. This is why Bible is not right. See, Bible says you must kill the homosexual. If you were to listen to some of the Israel's present politicians. Their pride in this, especially when they talk against Hamas. They will say, you know, Hamas is a terrible people. It's a slavery. They don't give freedom to the women. They don't even allow gays. They punish the gays. But we in Israel, we have gay parade in Tel Aviv, who are very proud. So we got freedom. Today's Israel ought to be killed for this sin. It's full of such activities, increasingly. How sad it is. Of course, today we don't subscribe to the fact that they must be killed, because this was particularly directive God gave to keep Israel as a nation holy before God. Now, we live in a Gentile world. This is not applicable to Singapore and England and all that. However, it tells us the moral standard that God gave to the world, isn't it? The rest you jot down and read when you have time. 1 Timothy chapter 1:10. 1 Timothy 1:10. And of course you can read in the context. Jude 1:7 and so on. Now it is abundantly clear, my dear friends, if we start abandoning God, God will abandon us. Do you understand that? And the culmination of it we are facing in our society, which is called homosexuality. And this is what God wants to say. So if you have any such idea, well, we have only one thing to say. Please repent at once and change. If you have difficulty, go and see mature people in your church. Talk to them. It can be a sister if you are a lady. It can be a man like the elders or deacons or your preacher Clement who is here. Go to them. Please don't take it lightly. Deal with it. Arrest it before God abandons you any further. But we praise God. God is able to save. In the Corinthian church, we know very explicitly, Paul says, there were such men, even those who were effeminate, you know, that we call lady boys. By the way, in Facebook, when you select your gender, they give you about 50 other options. God created only two, man and woman. Now there are 50 other. I don't know where they get all this. Maybe alien, don't know. Maybe half of this she-male, he-male, I don't know. It's weird. 53 choices of gender or more. Such a confused world. Can't even know whether I'm a boy or girl. Can you imagine? And then keep on saying, I'm a man caught in a woman's body. And I'm a woman caught in man's body. Confused. You know, this is utter foolishness, dishonorable. But nowadays people like to show off. I'm really a man in my body, but I'm a girl. They pretend. And that's very honorable, very courageous. Wow. It's a brave thing today. Why man become like this? Don't be surprised, tomorrow another one will come barking into the church. Wow, wow! Because I'm a dog caught inside a man's body. Don't be surprised, it will happen soon. Totally distorted thinking. This is what evolution brings us to. And then they can argue, oh, this is an evidence, you see. A man is changing to a dog. May God deliver us. Please, don't follow all these suggestions of the world. It will make you crazy up in your mind. You can't do things right. May God deliver us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in these days of great distortion of even the identity of man and woman, we bring up our kids and we minister to the church. Surely we will be laughed at. surely we'll be mocked. Surely we'll be rejected as unfriendly people. But we pray that you will have mercy if you were to give us some more time. May we labor to preach the gospel, that some may be saved. O Lord, thou hast been so kind to send thy angels to Sodom and Gomorrah and call Lot out of that place. Thou hast been so kind in Noah's time to prepare an ark for his family to escape. We know we cannot wait for the world to agree with us to be right in God's sight, even though the whole world may go after this kind of weird and twisted thinking. May we have the grace and courage to remain faithful to thee, not compromising, but always yielding ourselves to God and his truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.